And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. So trying to get our next guest lined up, but if we do not, then we'll move along like we always do.
Yeah. What do you think the odds tonight we'll see a split?
Ooh.
In
Georgia. Let's talk about that for a minute. We don't have our next guest. Let's talk about that for just a second.
Because I think Loeffler has a better chance than Purdue, simply based on the terrible nature of her opponent. Warnock is my goodness. This is a racist. This is a flat out, all out, almost unapologetic racist. Now he would deny that, but I mean, you look at some of his statements and they're just unbelievable. This guy is wretched. Okay. At least the guy that is at Ossoff, who Purdue is going against, who is a commie. Okay. He's a Marxist, but at least he doesn't come off as a wacko racist.
True. I don't know, Andy. We talked to Olivia. I'm trying to stutter here because I don't have the right words to really say. We talked to Olivia earlier, who said she was, cautiously optimistic that we'll win tonight. I don't know that I have a really solid feeling one way or the other. Not that that matters, because you and I are not always right on this. But I don't have. Richard and I have gone back and forth about this over and over again. I don't have a direct answer for you on this. I don't know. I really don't.
My big concern, honestly, is the amount of cheating. And I feel good that we've got so many more lawyers down there and people looking into this. I just worry about the Secretary of State of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think this guy's compromised or something. I do not think he cares at all about whether voting is legal. I don't trust the guy. I do not trust the guy.
And what's weird is even, places like CNN are saying that they don't see a split. It'll either be all one or all the other.
Oh, no. I think there's a good chance it will be all one or all the other. But let me just say this.
Go ahead.
I believe Purdue will get fewer votes than Loeffler.
Hmm.
Okay? And, but I do think that the odds favor it being 2-0 either way. But if there's a split, I think Purdue loses.
Okay. What do you think, real quick, as we've got a little time here before our next guest?
Sure.
What do you think happens tomorrow in regards to the electors? Will Pence reject the electors, or will they just rubber stamp that and move forward?
I think they rubber stamp it. I think they move forward. I think it's President Biden.
And by the way, I agree with you on that one.
By the way, I totally support the effort that's going down on the right and what we're trying to do. I totally support what Ted Cruz and his team of senators are trying to do. I'm just saying... I think the deck is so stacked and the deep state so deep there, I think it's over. That's what I think. And I hate to, people hear that and they think, what are you, a bad patriot and stuff like this? No, I'm a commentator. I'm somebody who gives my honest opinion about what's going to happen.
And I am as well. And here's my struggle with all of this is, while I have seen clips and bits and pieces of things that might, in some cases, I think, do show there's been some monkey motion when it comes to the election and results and voting machines and so on. I've yet to see the actual single smoking gun that says, here it is, here's what happened, here's why we know it's fraudulent, and this is what we have to run on. My feeling is they've got this thing spread so many different directions, I don't think you can point it in one particular direction.
Well, I think a couple of those.
Am I right in saying it that way?
Yeah, but I wouldn't. You're right in saying it that way, but I wouldn't go that far, because I think a couple of the videos that they have were really damning stuff, and I think those things showed flat out that they were cheating.
Yeah, but here's my problem with that. You've got to show that on a rampant stage, coast to coast, one precinct, one area where that's gone on. I'm not an attorney, but one is not enough to overturn a country's election.
Well, but...
Am I thinking incorrectly?
No, you're not thinking incorrectly, but the thing is, you've got... First of all, you have massive problems in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin should have been a slam dunk for our side. The Supreme Court there is just 4-3 liberal, and they don't care.
Okay.
Okay? And so Wisconsin should have been overturned. flat out. I think in Pennsylvania, you got some massive problems that should have been looked at. I think in Georgia, Georgia was the one with the greatest evidence, video evidence of what had happened, with a couple of those video clips were sickening. And I mean, absolutely sickening. And just with those clips alone, in my opinion, Georgia, the entire electoral vote should have been thrown out or recast or something. I think it should have been invalidated. And here you've got their Secretary of State, a Republican, basically saying nothing to see here. And it's like, are you kidding? You've got to be kidding. There's a lot to see here. Georgia was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Georgia was stolen. And I'm going to tell you right out, in my opinion, Donald Trump won Georgia handily by like 2 to 3%. I think the cheating there was
I think he won
so,
some other states as well.
Yes. And I think the cheating in Georgia was so massive. And here's my big concern, John, going into this. Because the Democrats have so many more people working on this election than they had before, all of these people, I guarantee you, because I always think in terms of, okay, the strategy, if I were going to pull this off, what would I do?
Right.
I would have all these people already learning signatures and training on how to write certain signatures. Because they don't have like 500 people working on this now. They've probably got a couple hundred thousand that they've got as an army of people who have no conscience whatsoever and are willing to fraudulently do whatever it takes in Georgia to turn this election. And so let's say I come to you, John, and let's say you have no conscience. And I say, I need you to learn these 100 signatures over the next month. Okay. And these are signatures that are, you know, of people that we know are not going to vote or they're absentee. Here's how we're going to do it. You are going to learn to basically approximate these signatures. Get ready and do it. Okay. I believe that the signature matching will not be as big a deal this time as it would have been last time if they'd ever really checked it, which they didn't, in my opinion. And I think the left is going to be incredibly mobilized and ready to commit massive fraud tonight. That's what worries me.
Okay. We'll find out.
We'll find out. Yep. I also think, though, that the right is going to be very mobilized to vote.
Okay. I hope you're correct. Scent Health Center's up next, folks. Dr. Julie Markiel, she'll join us tomorrow, give us an update of what you need to be looking at as you head into 2021 with your diet, your health, your nutrition, and so on. In the meantime, give Dr. Julie a call if there's anything you need help with. 303-343-8800 or find her at ascenthealthcenter.com.
Dr. Julie Markiel of Ascent Health Center has dedicated her life to helping you feel well because your health impacts every other area of your life. Think about what matters most to you, the goals you want to achieve tomorrow, next year, in the next 10 years. It will be harder to achieve those goals if you don't feel well. You won't be as effective at home or at work unless your body has the energy and vitality it needs. Dr. Julie of Ascent Health Center wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. And she believes that you will be more effective at the things that matter to you when you feel well. That's why it's so important to take care of your health. And that's why Dr. Julie has developed an actionable plan to help you feel well. All you need is a willingness to change. Set up a consultation. Tell Dr. Julie you're ready to make a change, and she will handle the rest. Find Ascent Health Center in Denver and Inglewood now at rushtoreason.com.
Franktown Firearms, folks, I did find out that the background check is about a day right now is all. And so you can get in queue, get a firearm purchase, get trained, buy ammunition, whatever you need. It's all at Franktown Firearms. Find them today by calling 720-770-7777 or klzradio.com.
The team at Franktown Firearms designed their indoor shooting range to be an oasis from the outside world where you can relax, unwind, and blow off a little steam. They've worked hard to keep their shelves stocked and prices low so they can provide a welcoming place to practice, learn, and take a break for a while. You may be seeing wiped out shelves everywhere else, but not at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms want to help you become an educated, well-trained, confident shooter. So they make sure you have everything you need to practice, including ammo. Buy a gun at Franktown, and they will have ammo for you to train with at a fair price. As a member of Franktown Firearms, you can reserve lane time 7 days a week, including after hours, so you can come by after work. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/Franktown. Mention Rush to Reason for a discount on your initiation fee. Franktown Firearms. Save money. Get treated well.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
The Associated Press reported last week that Colorado has plummeted from one of the top 10 economies in our 50 states to the bottom 9. Why? How can we turn this around? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, I'll ask Colorado gubernatorial candidate Greg Lopez. Plus, Dr. James Lyons Wheeler, research scientist, author, and founder and CEO of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, shares his thoughts regarding the COVID-19 Wuhan virus's UK mutation. You won't want to miss these conversations Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, your engineer, Dr. Kelly Victory joining us now. Colleen, I should say, but Dr. V is what we'll go by. Dr. V, welcome to Rush to Reason. I wanted to give a proper introduction. And what I'd like to do is have you give, so we can get started here, give your background in the medical community so people know your credentials.
Sure. Hi, John, and Happy New Year. I appreciate the invitation. I am a trauma and emergency physician by training. I did my residency in emergency medicine and spent many years as a hospital-based emergency and trauma physician. I made the transition some time ago more towards the public health side and developed a specialty in the medical management of mass casualty and have done a lot of training and teaching on preparedness and response for mass casualty events. I also ran a large company that provided the health care for a large number of Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies, including companies like Continental Airlines and Harrah's Casinos and large companies. So I was in a position to oversee the healthcare of huge populations of patients and their families. And part of that job entailed doing things like preparedness and training and consulting for large events, including pandemics. I was the chief medical officer, for example, at Continental Airlines during the 2003 SARS epidemic pandemic, and therefore have some background in planning for and responding to those sorts of events.
Perfect. In other words, you're a lot smarter on this than Andy and I are.
Well, I have more experience for certain.
No, and I say that in jest, but no, seriously mean that. You've got the background. You can speak to this in a very, you know, I'm a car guy, business guy. I can speak to those topics very intelligently and have lots of background like yourself. And I've seen lots of things happen in those industries and feel very much an expert at those things. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, a medical expert. I can read data. I'm not stupid. I can see some of the things that are actually going on. One of the first questions I want to ask you, though, Dr. V, is what are we doing wrong, not only as a country but as a world in response to COVID?
Well, it's a great question, and I think that we are doing a lot of things wrong. This is a public health crisis, John. And in public health, we have must take a very different approach than the one I take when I'm seeing patients individually.
Okay.
When you come to see me at my office, you are my only concern. It is a sacrosanct relationship between you and I, and we make decisions about what is best for your health care and yours alone, or your family member if you're there with someone. When we're talking about a public health crisis, I have to take a very different purview. I have to consider the impact of any given response, every given action on the entirety of the population, how it impacts everyone's health and wellness. And that health isn't just physical health. It can be spiritual health, economic health, psychological health, in addition to physical health. So when we talk about public health, we have to look at not just one individual illness, in this case COVID-19, but we have to look at how this entire event is in fact impacting everyone. And so I think that the gravest error, if I were to summarize, in what we have done from a public health perspective with COVID-19 is that, number one, we have acted as if everyone, the entire population, is at equal risk,
right,
which is absolutely not the case
True.
From this particular
True.
Illness. And we have exacted certain a huge toll on 100% of the population in an attempt to protect a
yep.
very small percentage.
Well said.
So I think that our mandate in public health is to isolate the few to protect the many, not isolate the many
right.
to protect the few.
Well said.
Dr. V, you make an incredible point there, because one problem that I've had with the Dr. Fauci's of all of this is that they don't seem to even look at all the collateral damage they're causing throughout society. As you said, if you are operating on a patient in an operating room, you don't have to worry about how that affects a business and the family running the business and all their employees three blocks down the street.
Right.
All you think is a person. But here they are saying, let's look at this one thing, and they don't care that they are destroying an entire society to deal with it.
Well, precisely right, Andy, and that's what I meant. When we look at what I have termed throughout this entire event since February, I call it COVID lateral damage.
Right.
Lateral damage is what the damage devastating that we are doing to tens of millions of people, not from the virus itself, but from our response to it.
Right.
The tens of millions of people whose lives and livelihoods have been destroyed. The educational futures of our children, who we have destroyed, the number of people we have driven to substance abuse, to desperation, to suicide, the elderly who we have left largely abandoned and isolated to die, to spend their last months or years on this planet alone, the people who will have cancers not
mm-hmm.
diagnosed
right,
and
right.
heart disease untreated. These things are real. The United Nations itself has estimated that 230 million people globally will die of starvation,
wow.
not from this virus, but as a result of our response
right.
to it, because of the profound disruption to
That's
things
right.
like food chain.
That's right.
It's
That's
unconscionable.
Right.
It's unconscionable.
Dr. V, I, bear with me here, but I look at this, and this, I wanted to get a medical expert's opinion on this, because I feel like what we've done in response to COVID is what, in a lot of cases, some businesses do in their business. Bear with me. A lot of businesses will let the quote-unquote bean counters in and start running the business. Unfortunately, when you run the business based upon bean counters alone, you don't spend money on marketing. You don't spend money on expansion. You don't spend money in areas and take risk, is what I really am getting at. You don't risk things in the company to grow. In fact, by doing so, you stifle the company's growth, and in a lot of cases can kill it by letting the bean counters be in charge. I feel like what we've done with epidemiologists right now is we've let those guys be in charge, and they're like letting the bean counter run the business.
There's no question, and one of the things I will say is, so it's very clear, I am certainly not someone you would put in a category of being a virus denier.
Right, me neither.
Oh, no.
No, we aren't either. We are very much of the opinion, Dr. V, that it exists. It is harmful for certain individuals, much like other things are in life as well. I keep reminding my listeners of that. Much like driving for some people can be very risky, Dr. V, so is this virus. It's real. It's out there. We are not denying that. But to shut down an entire country, countries plural, and their economies, and to your point a moment ago, let people starve to death because of that, this is insanity.
Exactly, and that's where I was going with it, to say that although I absolutely recognize that this is a very real virus and some people can become profoundly ill from it, and certainly many have died from it, life is inherently risky, and we have to allow people to make some level of decision about what their personal risk is from this particular thing and whether or not that would merit them destroying their livelihood, mm-hmm. destroying their business, harming their children, delaying or putting off in perpetuity certain other medical care, whether it's for cancer or diabetes or whatever, and to really weigh those things. And we have lost really that perspective. So I think, you know, we have allowed the mainstream media and many of our elected officials and public health officials to drive us into a place
right.
of fear and
That's right.
cowering,
That's right.
where people are really in a paralytic state and are unable to make those decisions because we have elevated our response really to a virtue signaling, if you will, to a competitive level where if you choose, for example, to go to work or to go outside to exercise or to get together with family and friends, you are some sort of a pariah yeah. who is deemed to be selfish or yeah. uncaring or somehow willing to allow others to perish for your pleasure. And these things are simply unwarranted.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, Dr. V, like we're saying, if you're not willing to put thousands of your fellow Coloradoans or Americans out of work to save one life, then you don't care about the one life.
All right, we got a call coming in. Dale in Denver, you're on with Dr. V. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, John. Good afternoon. I was just calling because I just wanted to throw a comment out there. It feels like with this COVID thing, you know, I know it's real. I know that it is real, but it kind of feels like the same people that are counting the COVID cases were the same people counting the vote. And it's leading us into like a babysitter state. And to my yeah. point, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they say that you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out.
Yeah. No. Well, no, Dale. By the way, appreciate the phone call. Dr. V, he's not far off in what he's saying, and we talked about it early in the program. We are giving up freedoms in this country for a virus that, honestly, if you had told me this even a year ago, in January a year ago, I would have denied that. I would have never thought on God's green earth we would be where we're at today.
Well, I agree with you. So let me a couple of comments with regard to what Dale was saying. Number one, my tagline from the beginning, and I mean February when I became extraordinarily outspoken about this, is that the virus is real, the statistics are not. He is absolutely correct. The way yep. that we are counting the numbers in this country has been at best intellectually dishonest.
Right.
We are far overcounting COVID-19 deaths because we are lumping in many, many people who have an inconsequential positive COVID test but died of a heart attack, a stroke, a gunshot wound to the chest, or any number of other things. Furthermore, we are overcounting the number of cases, and we
yes.
are stuck in
yes.
largely in a case-demic because
yes.
We are testing people hand over fist, many of whom are asymptomatic, and we haven't done that ever for any other disease process. We don't go out randomly testing people
right.
for influenza or strep throat or anything else for which they have no symptoms. So Dale's quite right that the numbers are highly inflated, which is, again, not to say that the virus isn't real, but the statistics aren't. With regard to this issue of giving up civil liberties, you are so spot on. If you had asked me or said to me back in February, early February of this past year, that, you know, in less than a year, we would have people, you know, the government telling us who we can associate with, how many people we can have at our Thanksgiving table, whether or not we can earn a living, what we have to wear in public, what items and how many rolls of toilet paper we can buy at the Walmart. I mean, I would have said you've lost your mind.
I agree.
Yet here we are.
Yep.
Here we
yep.
are.
Here we are.
And so what are we going to do about it?
You know what? Great break. Let's take a break right now. We'll come back to that. I also want you to talk about ICUs and how they operate best. Don't go anywhere, folks. Dr. Kelly Victory's with us right now. We'll be right back. Mighty Hand Construction is up next. In Northern Colorado, if you need anything done around the house when it comes to remodel, expansion, bathrooms, kitchens, you name it, it's Mighty Hand Construction. Find them at klzradio.com.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom-and-pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. the same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but five-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. He wants to help you out with all of your mortgage needs. And right now, you can still refinance for, I checked today, 2.5% or so. So if you're paying more than that, even 3 or above, give him a call today, get that handled, and he'd love to help. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Folks, we got a little weather coming in potentially tonight and again this weekend. If you're involved in any kind of an accident because of slick weather, make sure you're in charge of the repair process, and a good shop can be that repair shop for you, that collision center for you. Don't let the insurance company steer you in that direction. You go where you want to go, and that is a good shop. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a Good Shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a Good Shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a Good Shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Dr. Kelly Victory with us as well. And we gave all the credentials on her a little earlier when she first came on with us. You can always go back and listen to it again. I don't want to waste a lot of time with that, Dr. V, because there's a ton to talk about here. And I know, folks listening, it seems at times that we just beat this subject to death. But, Dr. V, this is a topic that is still front and center for a lot of people. I mean, businesses are literally still, in this state anyways, and I know across the country, struggling when it comes to, you know, COVID shutdowns and, you know, businesses only able to operate at a certain percentage, and on we go. But I wanted to shift gears and talk about ICUs, because we hear that daily. That is sort of the mantra that those in charge are using to, quote unquote, flatten the curve, not overrun hospitals. And it almost seems like we want ICU beds to be completely empty before we can open up businesses again.
Well, you are correct, John, and it's tragic because it seems to be the nature of the mainstream media these days to be fear-mongers and fear merchants. And unfortunately, they report numbers that to the average layperson lack any context. So many places, Colorado being one and California and many other states, are using ICU bed capacity as a barometer for how we are doing in the pandemic and whether or not we can reopen. And many of the color coding schemes, whether you're in the orange level, you're the red zone, right, or whatever other color scheme they have, are predicated upon these ICU numbers. And the problem is that they sound very scary. You hear, oh my gosh, you know, we're at 86% ICU capacity.
Right.
We're at night, you know, there's only, you know, 14% of beds left. Well, here's the reality. Hospitals aim to have their ICUs operating between 88 and 92% capacity.
Why?
That's their sweet spot.
I want to ask you that question because I know a lot of people out there, so they can share this around their own water cooler. Why? Why do hospitals shoot for that number?
Yeah, first of all, because those are the most highly sort of the most complex beds in the hospital.
In other words, they produce the most revenue.
Yes.
Thank you.
They produce the most revenue, but they also require the most resources in terms of respiratory therapists, IV techs, nursing staff, you know, everybody, internists, intensivists. They require the most resources. So when the hospital's ICU falls, say, to 80%, all of a sudden they need to start sending people home. They can't support.
Right. In other words, they don't have enough staff there to support the next patient coming in when they're not running at that capacity.
Exactly. So what they do is their sweet spot is to operate between 88 and 92%, means they have a bed or two available. And the other thing that they don't provide any context to the average person is bed capacity in a hospital is somewhat like air traffic control. It's changing hour to hour.
Okay.
At any given point in time, any particular hospital may be out of ICU beds, but they got plenty of telemetry beds. Out of telemetry beds, but we've got two available in the ICU, and we're shut down for the OR right now. Our labor and delivery is full, but we can take kids in the, you know, neonatal ICU.
Right.
And it's a moving target. And there's a person at every single hospital whose job it is to manage that moving target.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And at any given point in time, you're working with the hospitals nearby, with the hospitals within a 10-mile radius, and you're commonly going on what we call bypass. On a daily or weekly, if not daily basis at most big hospitals, you're calling the hospitals next door or the emergency transport staff, EMS, and saying, you know, hospital ABC is closed. We can't take any trauma patients or any cardiac, but we're good on pediatrics and labor and delivery. And the hospital 2 miles over is saying, yeah, well, you know, we're closed for this, but we can take that. That's how it works. All of a sudden, frankly, the public is seeing how the sausage is made. We've always run this way.
Right.
Hospitals operate this way
all
the time, independent of COVID-19.
Right. Andy's with me, and Andy used to be in the business world and the casino and the movie theater end of it. So I want to use a comparison on his end of it. I consult businesses and still do today. And I know this, Dr. Kelly, that in any business, I don't care whether we're talking about healthcare or we're talking about movie theaters like Andy was involved in the past or casinos, the reality is if a business doesn't have that capacity and we're running at that efficiencies that we need to really make money and make things work, what ends up happening is on slow days, we have more problems, more mistakes, and more issues when things are slow than when things are cranking along busy. I'm assuming hospitals are very much the same way.
They are. In 2018, John, just for some context, 2018 was a historic year in the United States for closure of rural hospitals.
Yeah,
hospitals couldn't keep enough capacity. So now we're hearing, oh my gosh, every day the sky is falling. And again, I know that this is a serious disease, and there are at times hospitals that are running at capacity or above capacity. But the reality is, at the beginning, if you think back to the very beginning of this pandemic, the Javits Center in New York, to the tune of millions of dollars, was outfitted as an ancillary hospital. It lay fallow, empty. The ship that was parked off the coast, off the East Coast, outfit, sat empty. The Denver Convention Center, let's quick set it up,
same thing. So I'm not saying that there are not individual hospitals that feel stressed and are at capacity for moments in time, but it is nowhere near the disaster that those in the mainstream media and others would have you believe. And it's important for people who are not in the healthcare industry to have some perspective to understand mm-hmm. that hospitals aim to operate above that 85% that you've been led to believe is sort of the tragic tipping point.
Go ahead, Andy. I know you had a question for her. Go ahead.
Dr. V, one thing that we never hear in all these statistics when people are talking about the backlog in these emergency rooms or in these ICU beds is they never say what percentage of those are purely COVID cases, because there was an incredible backlog of other elective surgeries that were put off for many months that are now coming to bear.
Right.
And also they're just not giving the numbers. Why is that?
You better believe it, and it's a very, very important point. For a long time, there was a moratorium on elective surgeries, for example, across most of the country. So what happens when we started to see an uptick in cases towards the latter part of the summer into August, you were seeing a lot of admissions for things that had been scheduled back in February, March, and April. Elective surgeries, things like hip replacements and hysterectomies, and those sorts of things that were deemed non-critical at the time. And so we had an uptick in admissions to catch up with that backlog.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, many places, I can tell you for certain, the state of California is calculating their bed capacity this way. They only set aside one-third of the ICU beds for COVID patients. So say, for example, if you have 15 ICU beds at a particular hospital, only five of those are set aside for COVID patients. So as soon as four of those five beds are taken, they report that as we are 80% full of on COVID beds.
Unreal.
Unreal. May be empty.
And also, we got to keep in mind those COVID patients, there's overlap. They have on average 2.6 other comorbidities for every COVID death.
Correct.
So they're not just being treated for COVID. So even that 30%
right.
is being treated
yep. well
for
said.
Just things that have COVID and other things.
Well said. Yep.
Precisely. And this year, you know, it hasn't been lost on anyone that we are not reporting out
nope.
the other pneumonia and influenza cases.
Wait, no, we cured Dr. Whoa, hang on, Dr. Kelly, come on. We cured the flu.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Exactly.
We found the cure of the common flu.
It's done.
Yes, it's the curfew. As long as you go home before 10
right.
p.m.
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mean to be laughing because I know, Dr. Kelly, there's people out there that have, you know, Dr. V, I should say, that have lost family and so on. And again, we're not trying to make light of all that, but I am making light of the way the media and public officials and the way we're being held hostage. At least that's how I feel personally. I feel like we're being held hostage by individuals that are not telling us the truth. They're lying to us.
Right. And I think, again, and when you say things like that, people immediately start to brand you as some kind of a conspiracy theorist in the same way that they
do. No, I can read numbers, Dr. V. I'm a data analyst. I can read numbers.
Exactly. And so the biggest issue here is that we have been led to believe that we are all at equal risk. We've been led to believe that the only things we can do are cower at home, wear a mask, socially distance, whatever the heck that is, and live by these lockdowns. Even the World Health Organization, for goodness sake, has come out and acknowledged that lockdowns do far, far more damage than good. We have never used them for any period of time because we know how devastating they are. They've been used twice in my knowledge in public health, and only for a period of a couple of weeks because they do such devastating, you know, destruction to the economy. I always say the economy and society is like a shark. Once it's not moving, it's dead. It needs to keep moving.
Well, Dr. V, one of the big problems, I think, is that the collateral damage is a lagging indicator. In other words, the repercussions of what we have done to the economy and to lives in terms of suicide, lost businesses, and so many other lost lives due to other factors, that's going to keep rolling in over the next couple of years. Whereas the COVID deaths, and you can look at the ticker right now.
That's correct. And the economy, as you well know, is not on a toggle switch. It's not like you say at the end of all this, after 24 months of lockdown, you say, okay, everyone can go back now. We know, based on just the reports now from a month or two ago, that upwards of 40% of all small businesses have closed and will not reopen.
Yep.
These are things, it's not like you just flip the switch on some months later. You know, I say to people, if you have a drought for, two or three years and all the crops are dead, it can start raining.
It doesn't make any difference at that point. That's right. But, at that point, it's too little too late. It doesn't matter then. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, by the way, that's a great description of what you just gave when it comes to even restaurants and things like that, where we've had them shut down for X amount of time. You can't just turn the switch back on and say, oh, okay, guys, go back to normal. It doesn't work that way.
Correct. And in terms of even staffing, people go out and find other jobs. People have lost their leases. People have defaulted on their loans. It's just devastating. I don't have a day go by that I don't hear a story. Somebody doesn't email me or text me a story about someone who's either lost their entire business or has had profound and devastating health consequences, not from COVID, but from our response to COVID.
Dr. Kelly, and by the way, we're moving breaks around, so we've got a little more time, Dr. Kelly. We can go to about 52, 53 after. We're just going to do our next break. I'll combine everything so we don't have to interrupt what we're doing in the flow of what we got going on. And I appreciate you taking time. For all of you listening, we're talking to Dr. Kelly Victory, very well known in this particular arena and has all the credentials to talk about this in a much more, knowledgeable way, probably, Andy, than you and I. I mean, Andy and I aren't dumb, Dr. V. We're not going to be you by any stretch of the imagination. We can read data and look at things, and some of the things that you're even, emphasizing or reemphasizing that we've talked about now for, six plus months. One question though,
When it comes to epidemiology, I'm a terrific movie critic.
Oh yeah, there we go. Perfect. Yeah, you can play one.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. So Dr. Kelly, I mean, again, as we start talking about the response and how we've done all of this, and I believe we've done all of this very much in the wrong way, and we have destroyed lives in a way that we didn't have to, and even to the tune where something I wanted to ask you about when it comes to mental health and the things that are happening even on the patient level. My dad went in the middle of COVID and had to have a triple bypass, which, by the way, they kept putting off because of COVID. Finally got it done, got it handled. He's doing well. But yet, goes through triple bypass, Dr. Kelly, and my mom could go see him like an hour a day when it was all said and done. And I've got to believe that in and of itself is not healthy to patients.
Absolutely. The amount of stress that we have put on people because of this, and I mean mental stress, emotional stress, the idea that you're telling people they can't go to church, they can't get together for any major holiday, that elderly people or people in nursing homes or assisted living facilities cannot see or touch or be in contact with their loved ones is tragic. If you take, the average person in a nursing home who, say, in their mid-80s, their life expectancy they've already exceeded the life expectancy by 8 or 10 years. Okay? And you're going to tell them that they need to spend their last Thanksgiving, their last Christmas alone?
Right.
Shouldn't that really be a decision that we allow patients and their families to make in terms of what kind of risk they are willing to take and what they want to, how they want to spend their time? That's really what this country was founded upon. And I find it tragic, and it makes me angry that we as a medical community and a public health community have ended up letting people down and allowing this to play out this way.
Dr. V, what do we do about the media dominance of the pro-COVID panic side? And what I mean is this, people like you, you guys get demonized. You look at South Dakota, should be a marvelous example of how to run things. They've got 3.5% unemployment. They're rocking. Their COVID numbers aren't much higher than others. I mean, and yet the media absolutely comes together, speaks as one voice to demonize anything that might get America going again. How do we combat
that? And one other thing I want to add to that, including Dr. V demonizing Andy, myself, and you for speaking against this.
Right.
Oh, well, you better believe it. I have certainly been firmly in the crosshairs from the beginning. I have been vilified. I've been censored up one side and on the other. I've been the victim of just relentless character assassination and been called everything from a conspiracy theorist to, you know, a quack, despite my credentials. It has really been just an unconscionable assault by the media. And you are correct, Andy, to point out that if you look at places like Florida, Texas,
right,
South Dakota, that have had almost no restrictions. They are open for schools, are in-person teaching. Businesses are open with minimal restriction. There are no mask mandates. They have had less than half the mortality per capita of states like New York and California that have had these massive lockdowns and the resulting, you know, sort of devastation to the economy. So when you look at places like those states that are doing well, or countries that were doing well at the beginning, like Sweden, say, why aren't we looking at that and lauding those and saying, Governor DeSantis in Florida, you clearly have it figured out.
Right.
You're doing something great. You're protecting those that truly at risk, and you are allowing the rest of society to get on with business, to keep things going, to keep the economy running, and to keep children, for example, being able to get their education. So you are correct. It has been just an assault nonstop by the media. I don't know how to combat it other than to do what I have been doing from the beginning, which is to say, you know, I am the consummate heat-seeking missile. I will keep speaking the truth. I hashtagged, well, you know, my facts not fear at the beginning of this. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a naysayer.
Nope.
I'm simply trying to provide a more balanced approach.
Well, and Dr. V, thank you for mentioning Sweden, because, you know, early on when they had a very high death rate for COVID, everybody was talking about MSNBC and all these places were talking about them. I was charting their numbers versus the rest of Europe over November and December, and they were running at a way lower death rate per, say, 100 cases of COVID than almost all of Europe. I think largely because they had burned through a lot of their dry timber. They had already, the people who were susceptible had already died. And suddenly nobody talks about Sweden anymore.
Okay. I gotta wrap this up, guys. We got 1 minute left. Dr. V, talk to us about masks real quick, because that's the big topic. You know, people love them. People hate them. I am a hater, by the way. I don't think they're doing a bit of good. In fact, the way I see the majority of people wearing them, I think they do more harm than good. Give us your 1 minute synopsis on masks.
I could tell you that masks simply do not work effectively to stop the spread of respiratory viruses. We've known this for decades, and even the CDC's own website has a meta-analysis of 10 different studies that come to that conclusion. I wear a mask in the operating room purely to keep me from inadvertently spitting into a wound or to keep me from being sprayed with a bodily fluid like blood. They do not stop, unfortunately, the spread of respiratory viruses, and in fact, likely make the spread worse. And Duke University did a study on that in August showing that cloth masks, particularly the gator style that so many wear, actually result in the aerosolization of droplet particles and therefore spread the virus more. There's a reason we haven't used these every year for all of cold and flu season. It sounded like such a great idea, but I think we are largely using them as a talisman.
Yep.
You might as well hang garlic around your neck.
Well said.
Because I think it's doing about that much good.
Dr. V, we'll have you back. I've got your you know, phone number. We'll message back and forth. Love to have you back again. I know this went fast, but we'll have you back.
Sounds great. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. V. We appreciate it again. Dr. Kelly, Victory, we really appreciate her joining us. Real quick, Purefoy Chevrolet is coming up next. If you want to buy a new or used car, they are the place to go. Find them at purefoychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, make sure that you're set financially as we head into 2021. Talk to Al Smith, find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Barber's Foods, and find them at barbersfoods.com. Anything you need, any meat product, chicken, poultry, beef, bison, they've got it all, and I will tell you, it literally is the best meat I've ever eaten, and it's easy. Just go to barbersfoods.com, put your order in, and they'll handle the rest. Barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949. For over 50 years, the Barber's family raised the last of Colorado-grown turkeys on a turkey farm in Broomfield. And today, the Barber's family distributes high-quality, natural, local, and organic proteins from animals raised on family farms. They personally know all their producers, so whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from, and the family who raises the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center. Or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado Source Bison, Organic Grass-Fed Beef, USDA Prime Beef, Purebred Wagyu, Slow-Raised Non-GMO Duroc Pork, Free-Range Chicken, Non-GMO Turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native, owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and guys listening to us, please, guys and gals. There are, I know, a lot of even conservatives that think Andy and I are crazy when it comes to our thoughts on COVID and mask wearing and so on. I know because I get text messages and emails from some of you that are even on the right that think, you know, my opposition to masks is just downright sacrilegious, and there's no way in the world as a Christian I could believe such a thing, and that, you know, I would believe that you can't, you know, you shouldn't be wearing masks, and we're going to harm the rest of society by spewing out that information over the airways. Guys, I'm standing by my statement, and she just proved my point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just numbers, John. Get the emotion out of it. It's just numbers.
Look at it factually.
And when you look at those numbers, then think, how do those affect real people?
Well said, Andy. All right, another full hour coming your way. We got a lot in store. We'll see if we can get John Zmirik on with us from stream.org. Otherwise, though, we will still be back. Hour number three is next. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, thanks for listening. We'll be back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.